sempre può calare dal mandrene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalata, picchia me. Looking in my window, it's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the baker boy, he will come and he will go, and he will always mix the...
Hello everyone, welcome to Trends This Week. And again, another wild day out there, only getting wilder. U.S. to launch Minuteman III ICBM to show nuclear capabilities. Oh, great. Hey, it's okay for the United States to launch anything that they want, but nobody else could launch anything. Then we're going to bomb them. Yeah, we're going to bomb them. Them North Koreans, you know, that poor nation, tiny little joint compared to most of the world. Don't let them do any missile testing. Don't let Iran do any missile testing. Only the United States. The exceptionals. The exceptional murderers on Earth. They kill anybody that they want to kill anytime, any place. Hey, Trump just wiped out 7 civilians over there in North Yemen with drone strikes. Hey, you're picking up where Obama left off, huh? Obama was, quote, really good at killing people. You'll be really great, great, great at killing people because you always repeat your same BS lines. Beautiful, beautiful. That's beautiful. Those missiles are beautiful. Oh, no, that's what that other little clown of a boy, what's his name over there? Brian Williams, you know, the guy that was in a, you know, avoiding air, you know, missile strikes come hitting their helicopter over Iraq. Yeah, that liar. Saying those missile strikes were beautiful, leaving that ship and going into Syria and slaughtering 19 innocent people. For a gas attack that Syria never did. The facts are there. MIT professor Postal, in detail, they never did that. Syria had no interest in it. It was against what they were doing. They're winning against the United States, quote, moderate rebels. And we all know what they look like. We've seen pictures of them. We know their names by heart. Moderate and rebel. Murderers. And now you got a narcissistic murderer in there. Before you had an arrogant sociopath in there, Obama. Now you got a narcissistic psychopath. And don't support Occupy Peace, anyone. Don't go to Occupy Peace US and give us a penny to stop this madness. No. Just go out there and join their marches. Another march, another week. Another week, another march. Oh, let's march for science. Let's march for transsexual bathrooms. You know, let's march for everything, but let's not do anything to stop this aggressive trend toward war. Look what's going on. One after another. 10-minute warning. Japan instructs citizens on potential North Korea strike. Yeah, let's really sell fear and hysteria. Let's get this clear. You cannot create beauty and joy, kindness and love, caring and respect in a climate of fear and terror. And that's all these people are selling us. And everybody out there, except, of course, of the people that tune into Progressive Radio Network, are buying it, sucking it up, and passing it on. Look what this country's become. Police going into a high school, 900 students or something, closing a joint down, frisking people. Go to the airports. Look at the disgusting spectacle it is, feeling up old ladies and little kids. Hey, they may have a bomb between their legs. Yeah, let me stick my hand up there and see what I could find. Let me pat you down and feel your breasts. Or touch your butt. What a bunch of clowns. It's a freak show. And we got the freak in charge right there with his bleach blonde comb over. And a bunch of clowns around him. Hey, Obama just got his first job. After BSing us and lying to us and creating wars after 8 years. $400,000 to give a speech when you could hear him BS for free all day long. $400,000 to hear this arrogant guy speak. Hey, can't pay your bills? Having trouble paying your mortgage? Taxes knocking you out? Being nothing of a guy like Obama, community organizer in Chicago that organized nothing. A front man for the multinationals. The liar in chief. He's going to revisit NAFTA as he shoved the Trans-Pacific Partnership down our throats. The most transparent president I'm going to be. Yeah, so transparent, man, you could look right through you and see nothing on the other side. Hey, other than a dollar sign. Yeah, but don't worry about the dollar sign. That's going to go away too when they turn us into a cashless society. And that's where we're going, man. Read your Trends Journal. This thing's happening already. 1 in 3 Europeans are ready to dump cash ahead of a digital future. They see it coming. You saw what happened in India when one day last November, the same day as Election Day in the United States, so most people would never know about it because that wasn't the news. They called in 86% of the cash. Over a third of Europeans are stupid enough. They'd be happy to abandon cash and rely on electronic payments if they could, according to an ING bank study released today. They could, this way they could get every penny that you have, no, every penny that you spent, and turn it more into a big brother state. And by the way, I shouldn't say that. I find that sexist. They're going to turn it into a big sister state, just like I find it sexist as a mother of all bombs. Why not a father of all bombs? Why can't we slaughter with big bombs? Why is it only a mother and a mother of all bombs and big brother? Of course, I'm being facetious because that's how stupid it all is. So, hello, having fun? Happy days here again. What a freak show. What a freak show. Ugly, that's the word for America. Make it ugly. Make it cheap, make it ugly, make it fast. Bill's the bottom line. Every time I go into New York City, what a joke. What a joke, de Blasio. Another loser of a nothing, loudmouth, arrogant boy who never worked a day in his life. None of these guys, most of these guys never worked a day in their lives. They're the creeps, the jerks, the lowlifes that you hated in high school that wanted to be class president, head of the student council, the suck-ups, the brown noses, the overly ambitious, and the insincere. What a joke New York City is. I knocked out my front end hitting a potholes. Hey, how about those trains, huh? Aren't they great? Yeah. Hey, let's spend $100 million bombing an innocent country, Trump, the businessman. I'm a businessman. You're a jerk. You're born on third base and thought you had a home run. Your old man left your family nearly $400 million, fat mouth. My father, may his soul rest in peace, left me a 1977 AMC Eagle. What a piece of junk that car was. The guy that sold it to him, he should have been... And thank God, she taught me how to be my own man. Rather than his little tough boy Trump, his son brags about how tough his father is because he sent missiles into Syria. Your father went to military school, Eric, my boy, and dressed up in military drag. Get it in your head. Your father's not a fighter. Your father avoided the Vietnam War with a bone spur on his ankle. Oh, and he forgot which ankle. Yeah, maybe it was the third one. Sending us to war. And backtracking just like Obama. Yeah, you remember. You remember how, hey, Trump didn't. You know, NATO is obsolete. Not anymore. Nope. NATO's not obsolete anymore. Not that war's going on anymore. Yep. NATO's obsolete. Going back to this New York City, what a joke. Again, slaughtering people all over the world. And the trains are a joke. The transportation system is a joke, a bad joke on we the little people. Hey, go to the West Side, see all those helicopters flying in? You think Trump and his buddies take the train? You take a train up here from Rhinebeck or Poughkeepsie to go down to the city? Amtrak, crap track. MTA, yeah. You're lucky to get down the city on time. Oh, we have one line is closed. We got to let the other trains go by. Hey, it's the 21st century. Can you get that in your head? Well, why should we get that in our head? We got greed in our pockets and sickness in our mind. We have to build a military-industrial complex because we got to bomb the shit out of ISIS, Trump says. We're going to make this the biggest military in the world. Hey, Katsung, it is already. We're spending over $600 billion. Yeah, we got to watch them Russians. Oh, yeah, they're spending $48 billion a year on their defense. And we're spending $600 billion, and you got a fat mouth yelling out that he's going to make this the biggest military in the world, so nobody's going to mess with us. Yeah, only little jerks like that who never fought for themselves, like Trumpy boy, military drag Trumpy boy, talks like that. Well, I shouldn't say that. Then we got Mad Dog Mattis. I forgot about him. Madonna me. What a clown he is. Our defense secretary. Yep. He's out there, man. He's saying, now he's claiming, the United States is in what? We're in Afghanistan 16 years. Slaughter after slaughter, day after day. Killing innocent people that done nothing to us. Got to get rid of them Talibans. Hey, Jimmy Carter. Put the Taliban's in power. You know, that other arrogant guy who plays the holier-than-thou murderer, Jimmy Carter, that all the liberals love. Yeah, that's right. We got to get them Russians out of Afghanistan. So we supported the Taliban. Hey, you ever hear the Mujahideen? Maybe you heard of Osama bin Laden. Yeah, the guy that Obama bragged about that we brought him to justice. That's how sick this country's become. When you slaughter somebody... They call that justice. There is no justice. Just us. We're the only ones that have to pay for the crimes we commit. The economic elite and the political nobility don't pay a dime. Like all those banksters, they ruin the lives of tens of millions of people. Convicted of felonies. Beep. No time for them. Hey, how about that Volkswagen peoples? Yeah, polluting the planet and lying about it with their automobiles. Oh, they got fined. They got charged with a crime. Any heads roll? Anybody go to jail for their lies and slime? Of course not. U.S. warns of another tough year in Afghanistan. Duh, no kidding. Yeah, we need more troops. I'll tell you what to do. We need more troops. Oh, yeah, like that troop surge that Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, after he got elected, huh? 33,000 more troops. That really did the job. We got a strategic plan, and we got going from plan A to plan B, and from plan B to plan C. We're the military. We're tough guys. We're bombers. We're fighters. We're murderers. Everybody salute. I salute. I got one for you. Taliban infiltrates Afghan base, killing over 140. They call the Taliban militants. How about calling the government that America put in there another puppet government, another losing government, propped up by the sick people, the Wolfowitzes, the Bushes, the Obamas, and the Clintons, and all the rest of the murderers? No, Taliban were only there. That was only their country. We should tell them how to run their country, just like we tell everybody else how to run their country when we don't even have trains that run. What a joke. People better stand up and start doing something and stop with these stupid marches. Everybody going out there with their pussy hats on and everything else, screaming and yelling and not doing another damn thing the next day. We don't occupy peace, they're going to occupy war for us. And Iran is going to be the focal point of it. Mark our words. Iran. Every day, Tillerson questions Iran deal rationale. Tillerson. Yeah, the guy they brought in from ExxonMobil to play Secretary of State. One after another. Netanyahu's shooting his mouth off. Tillerson. Trump. Mad Dog Mattis. All railing out about Iran. Our forecast is that Israel is going to provoke Iran, false flag attack like Syria, and the United States is going to get involved in it. That's our forecast. More war. Or OccupyPeace.us. Yep. United States building stronger alliances with Saudi Arabia. Isn't that great? Yeah, those wonderful Saudis. Beheaders in chief. Yeah, wonderful folks. Selling them more weaponry. So Trump's approval rating in the first 100 days is at the lowest in recorded history. However, having said that, again, it's the lowest approval rating since they've been doing these polls, so over 70 years. 73% approve of his pressuring companies to keep jobs in the United States. And I agree with that as well. And by the way, I'm not, you know, as you well know, I call things the way I see them. It's not liking or disliking somebody. But the job issue to me is one of the most important issues. And the fact is they have sold out this nation. And you see the numbers coming in. Middle class now has shrunk several percentage points since 1970. Oh, by the way, it's growing in Europe and over in the UK, according to the latest study. So then you look at Trump's tax cut proposal, and I don't know what most of it is now. It's just coming out. But they're going to reduce corporate tax rates to 15%. So obviously that's going to benefit the big corporations. So it's going down from 35% to 15%. Okay, if you agree with that, fine. All right, how about lowering the tax rate the same percentage point for we the little people? How about that? And these moronic school taxes that we're all paying, what a joke the school system is. Another bunch of arrogant people running these shows, boy. Superintendents. School systems. Yeah, so the tax bill, again, you know, it'll like everything else in this country, it will enrich the rich already. That's the way I see this right now with the information just coming out. We'll see. But I doubt if it's going to be much for the middle class, which is shrinking again. What they call middle class. They call middle class in America if you're earning like over $35,000 a year. Yeah, great. Sure. Who are you kidding? Yeah. So there we are. Here we go. As a result of the announcement on the tax cuts, which are going to be, quote, the biggest in U.S. history, and the U.S. markets are up again, over 44 points, over 21,000. The NASDAQ is above 6,000. So the Dow's near record highs, so is the NASDAQ. And so is Bitcoin. It's marching toward an all-time high, too. The SEC gave a second shot to Winklevoss ETF. So we think Bitcoin, and I got to tell you, Max Kaiser, a friend of mine, Kaiser Report on Russia Today, RT. Oh, Russia, how could it be on RT? I'm on RT all the time, too. Matter of fact, Max Kaiser was at one of our conferences up here, and he and Stacey Herbert. And he's been on. He nailed this one right from the beginning with Bitcoin. So I was talking before about a cashless society, and you're seeing currency fluctuations going very wide. So individual investors are buying gold and Bitcoin as alternative currency protection. We're going to see more and more of that. So where's the market going? What's going on? Where's it heading? We believe there's going to be a major correction, at least 10%. And we say that because the valuations don't match the prices. Earnings to price ratio is way out of line. It's not as bad as it was prior to the crash of the dot-com bust, but they're still out of line considering so many different factors. And The factors are bigger than economic. Again, within days, the United States launched a massive missile strike against Syria. It dropped the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan. It's inciting global concerns of nuclear war with North Korea. Trump has announced new military operations in Somalia, expanding throughout the Horn of Africa. There's demonstrations in Romania. The Ukraine tinderbox war is getting hotter. The United States is bringing over that THAAD missile system over there to South Korea. And China is saying, BS, this has nothing to do with North Korea. This is a strike against us. So now they're retaliating by restricting South Korean trade to go into China. And that's South Korea's biggest market. And on the economic front, and we already saw it yesterday with Wilbur Ross, our Commerce Secretary, restricting, or I should say putting tariffs on lumber coming out of Canada into the United States. So the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, or the International Mafia Federation, more accurately described, is warning that, quote, a sort of protectionism hangs over world trade. So when we talk about a market correction, will the great Trump rally that's based on expectations of lower taxes, less regulation, massive infrastructure development and job creation sharply reverse if those expectations fall short? And again, should you wish to stay on top of the trends and ahead of the news, you may consider subscribing to the Trends Journal. And of course, we have a discount request page there for anyone that can't afford the full price. It's only $99 a year. And that includes the Trends Journal, 60 pages, full color, no ads. Nope, not one. And Trends Monthly, and Trend Alerts each week, and Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. For the real news, not the garbage news that they're putting out. The kind of news you hear on Pacific Radio Network, but it's trend-oriented. You go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, or call 845-331-3500, for more information about the Trends Journal. And, of course, if you have any questions, feel free to call in to Progressive Radio Network at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. So, when you're looking at the economy in the United States, you know, we just saw consumer confidence hit a decade high. But guess what? Consumers aren't putting their money where their mouths are. In March, restaurant same-store sales were down over 1%, and traffic dropped 3.4% year over year. And while online shopping is taking a chunk out of the retail business, it's bigger than that. Overall retail sales fell for the second straight month in the U.S., driven down in large part by declining auto sales. We've been warning about a subprime auto crisis now for 4 years. It just keeps building bigger and bigger and bigger. spending on vehicles and parts has fallen for 3 straight months. It's the longest streak of decline since the panic of 08. Last March, retail sales overall spiked 5.2%. This year, they were down 0.1%. And then you got the student debt bubble. $1.3 trillion. And on the consumer debt, don't forget to get your education and worthlessness at a university and college near you. All these moronic courses that they're teaching. Oh, and you know what one of the big ones is now? Homeland Security. That's right. Militarize the people. Go to college to become a thug and a bully. Oh, you're protecting us. You're not protecting me. You're making my life less safe. I can protect myself. I don't need anybody protecting us. You're making us less safe by going and starting wars and murdering millions of people across the planet. And going back, $35,000 on average student debt. $35,000 for a degree in worthlessness. And now you're seeing it's hurting not only the students who get out of college and can't find a job, it's hurting their parents. That's right. Because the parents took on them loans. They guaranteed them. Now you're looking at about 300,000 of them. They're about a year late on payments. And what do? They take it out of your Social Security. Again, it's okay. Because Trump is now elected and he's going to cut them corporate taxes down from 35 to 15%. So we, the little people, have to pay more for everything. So what's debt when you can't afford anything? It's no big deal. Well, I get excited about it. What a joke the media's become. What a disgusting spectacle. I can't even watch it anymore. Trump just hired somebody to be a spokesperson for the defense Secretary of State. She comes from Fox News. Wow, blow me away. Who would have thought of that? What a shock. Yeah, it's one after another. They all come from, you know, Chucky Todd, Meet the Prestitutes, another arrogant little boy. He worked for, you know, Democratic guy. Another arrogant little boy of nothing, Stephanopoulos on ABC. Oh, yeah, he's a Clinton's spokesperson, the Clinton administration. Oh, yeah, that's a non-biased voice. Again, it's all connected. And Trump is really deeply connected with Fox because we saw that Ivanka Trump, his daughter, was the trustee for Murdoch's two children. I mean, it's, you know, think there's any connection. And you always hear Trump, he defended this guy, O'Reilly. I was on with O'Reilly, too, in the beginning. He tried getting testy with me, and it didn't work. So he never had me back again. He defended him. He brags about how Fox and Friends is the best show. And I've been on Fox and Friends a number of times, but no more. They don't want me on anymore. Because I don't take their crap. So, let's hear from E from Edgewater.
Hi, Gerald.
Hello there. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I we're talking all about this. How does North Korea have money to be testing missiles every other week for the last 10 years? If they're so poor, how come they keep doing it? Nobody understands.
They do it because the people are poor. That just like the Americans, people are poor. And our military keeps building stronger and stronger. It's the same mindset. They use the money for the military. And
yeah, but,
North
but
Korea
United
made it
States
very clear. Let me finish and you could go on. North Korea made it very clear that they're going to have nuclear weapons because they saw what happened to Gaddafi and Hussein when they didn't have nuclear weapons. The United States overthrows them. So that's what they're doing. And they and again, we got to watch out for North Korea because look what they did with attacking Iraq because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And look at those North Koreans in Afghanistan. They're in there for 16 years. And don't forget the hey, those North Koreans overthrew Gaddafi over there because he wasn't treating his peoples good. And hey, Assad has to go. That was North Korea too. Troops in Somalia and the Horn of Africa. That's North Korea. What I'm saying is that North Korea's done nothing to anybody. They haven't bothered anyone. Yes, they put on a lot of bravado. That's none of our business.
Yeah, but testing these missiles every other week is not good for the environment. And you know, why should they keep? They're told not to do it, but they keep doing it.
They're told not to do it by who? By the murderers who do it all the time? Look what America does.
Yeah, by the
look at all the wars.
People,
look at all the bombs we're dropping. Look at all the people we're murdering. And they shouldn't test missiles. I'd be testing, if I was North Korean, I would be testing them as well. And the United States, by the way, and these are facts, they're sabotaging them with cyber warfare.
Yeah. I think it's a ploy so we can say, look what they're doing, and now we have to, like, come down on them. And tell them not to do it, but we're allowed to do it. Yeah, it's a big conspiracy. And
it's
we
a hypocrisy in front of
it.
It's
it
not
wasn't
a conspiracy.
Because of the nuclear, because they didn't have nuclear. He wanted to make the gold the standard thing again for the gold for the oil, right? And what is this thing with gold? What are we so obsessed with gold for? You know what gold was good for? Filling our teeth cavities instead of that mercury crap and paving the streets. That's what the Prince of Peace wanted us to do with gold, not to worship it. He wants us to worship his father, not money, not gold. I'm sick of it.
Well, again, it's gold. People buy gold like myself. Because it's a safe haven asset, rather than having this paper money, this fiat money backed by nothing with deep debt. And you talk about I was talking before about Bitcoin, why people are going into that, because they're fearful of the currency collapses. You're looking at China; they have a debt level now of over $30 trillion, a debt to GDP ratio of almost 265. It's out of sight. And go back 20 years ago. Remember, it's 30 trillion today. 30 years ago was about 900 billion. So the Chinese are looking for alternatives. The Indians are looking for alternatives. It's not a worship of gold. It's what am I going to do if they take the currency away from me? Or if they devalue it like they did in 1933, when FDR called in all the gold and, in effect, devalued the dollar by raising the price of gold, because gold was back. When they forced people to turn it in, gold, the dollar was backed by gold back then. When they forced the people to turn it in, they turned it in at around $22. An ounce. After
right.
They thought they got it all in, they raised the price to the gold to the dollar to $35 an ounce, which
right.
Means that your dollar just got devalued. So that's why people buy gold.
All right, it was $35 in 1972, and now it's $1,200. It went up to $1,800, then it went down to $1,200. What's the difference? It should be used to fill our teeth with and to pay the streets,
That's the way other people see it differently.
Is it any better than zinc or copper? It's just a mineral.
I'm telling you, again, it's been around for civilizations. Whether or not you worship it, agree or disagree, those are the facts. So you could use it for gold. Other people want to use it for an exchange of currency, particularly at a time when there's so much. Again, I was just mentioning, E, the things that are going on. It's a safe haven currency. I mentioned what's going on with the missile strikes. Go to South Africa, take a trip to Venezuela. You're seeing massive demonstrations against ruling leaders, and they're escalating. You have Turkey, the latest constitutional referendum strikes fears of dictatorial rule. You go around the globe, you're seeing these problems erupting one after another. So gold is looked upon as a safe haven asset. The whole current, the whole economy in the United States and in Europe and in China has been built with fake money, quantitative easing, and zero and negative interest rate policy. So when all else fails, they take you to war. And that's what we're worried about. So when in an environment like that, gold is looked upon as a safe haven. I'll give you an example. You're old enough and I'm old enough to remember the stories from the old timers or what we read about in history, how people escaped Europe during the war by buying their way out with gold.
Right.
So that's why we look at
gold. All right. But,
so thanks
but instead
for calling
of spending
me.
Gold, we should be buying some good survival equipment. Remember the 3 G's you talked about a few shows back? 3 G's, gold, guns, and what was the other one? Getaway plan. Remember that?
You got it. GC's, 3 G's.
Why'd you come up with that fear thing?
Oh, what happened? I'll tell you how it happened. It was.
Well, I know how it happened. The World Trade Center was attacked, and you thought that they might bomb the Indian Point. So gas, gold, guns, getaway plan. You got to have gasoline. You need survival equipment. You need all kinds of things. What were those terrorist idiots? How come they didn't blow up the nuclear power plant with the 4 planes they had? What were they, idiots? Must have taken them years to train pilots so they could commandeer the 4 planes. What were they, idiots? They did us a favor, and they bombed 2 buildings that was already proven that it could survive planes crashing into them by the Japanese architect who spent so many days and hours and years figuring out how to build this building so it could survive a plane crashing into it, because they built the 110-story 2 buildings right in the middle of 3 airports. What was the problem? The whole thing
I don't know. The whole thing's crazy. I know you invented money.
And when we decided money was going to be how we were going to do things in this world, that's when we doomed society and civilization. And until we get back on trading with each other, and that's how we got to do it. So when the Prince of Peace comes and the Father takes care of all this crap, we're going to be good again, and we're not going to be using money anymore. We're going to take,
okay.
I grow this, and I'll trade this with you for what you grow.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, E. Until the next time, I'll be talking with you. All the best. So, here we are. Yes, trade is great, and I'm a big proponent of it. I agree with E from Edgewater. I also agree with self-sustaining economies. We're a nation of 320 million people. We have all the natural and human resources we need. And the more trade we do with each other, people talk about buying local. I talk about buying local as well. But it's bigger than that. It's buying local, it's buying national. And those are some of the things I do agree with Trump. But again, you know, when you look at the majority of society, you know, my God, last night I turned on just to try to get a taste of the news. And I watched these drug ads. My God. The guy's on opiates and he has constipation. And so I get rid of the constipation. He's taking these other drugs. Holy God. Anyway, Paula from Florida. Hello, Paula.
Hello, Gerald. A pleasure to talk to you. I'm a longtime friend of Gary's, and I've been following his advice on buying the junk silver and the gold, and I've accumulated a nice amount. My question, which might be a stupid one, is how are we going to use that for purchasing items if we have a silver dime, a silver quarter, etc.?
What do you mean? Well, what do you do with it? Is like you use it to purchase items. What you do is you use it to, let's say you're holding gold. And gold right now is roughly trading, let's say, $1,250 an ounce. And all of a sudden, they say that we're going to devalue your currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have that gold to buy whatever you want. You buy all that currency you want. And then you use that currency. So it's not as though you're going to be trading gold. You're going to be using the gold to buy a currency. But you'll get more of that currency with the value of what you have. And then, of course, there'll be the people that will say, yeah, give me the gold and I'll give you this.
Right. Okay. So bartering system.
Exactly. So it works two ways. You also cash it in for cash.
Very good.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of my friends. I've been advising a number of friends, and they keep asking me, but how are we going to use it? So now I could clarify the issue with them and for myself. And I thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Paula.
And you have a great day.
That's the way it works, is that people say, what am I going to do with this gold? Again, it's either, as Paula mentioned, bartering. I'll give you gold, you give me this. And nobody, you're doing it, and it's between the two of you. And, of course, you're going to put it on your tax return because you don't want to break any laws. And then, of course, the other one is you turn it in for cash. So let's say, for example, all of a sudden there's they're going to devalue the dollar. The dollar is worth less than it is. So now your gold prices escalate in comparison to what the dollar went down. So you didn't lose any value. You gained value by holding gold or silver. So that's the way you use it. And again, it's been around forever. Like it or not, it's here. And we don't see it going anywhere other than up. And our forecast is very clear with this. I made it clear for many years that we have to see gold go over $1,400 an ounce and stay there steadily. $1,440, $1,470, $1,430, $1,480, $1,450, $1,490. And then from there we see it going to $2,000. On the downside risk, we don't see a real big one. We see somewhat of a risk, of course, there always is. But when you're looking at gold, now, we see the possibility of a downside risk in the neighborhood of about $150 an ounce, which really isn't a big downside risk, considering the upside potential. So as E was talking before, he mentioned that gold was $35 an ounce back in the 1970s. And then skyrocketed up to $850 an ounce. And I remember it. I bought it the day when it hit the high. The next day it was down $50, which is a lot in those days, and kept going down. So we're looking at gold now at roughly, $1,264. So knock another $150 off it, but that's not a lot when you consider when gold went up to $850, phew, that guy shot back down to the 300 range. So I mentioned $150 down because that's what it's now costing to pull it out of the ground. And they're not going to pull it out if it's worth less than it is when you're pulling it out. So that's some of the wrap-up of what we're talking about. And I want to thank E and Paula for calling in. And next week, of course, feel free to call in as well. And I just want to sum up some issues here and what we're looking at. Again, with the markets, the Dow is now up 25 points, NASDAQ's down a bit, but they hit the highs. We are looking for a major market correction. I mentioned before how Trump is backtracking. One of the issues he backtracked was with Janet Yellen. Now she's okay, the Fed chair. But also on interest rates. This is very important. Because when he was candidate Trump, he was saying that the Fed built a bubble with these low interest rates, and now he's in favor of them. He's backtracking on just about everything that he said. And what upsets me the most about what he backtracks about is that I thought he wasn't going to be aggressive in foreign affairs, and he's much more aggressive already in within 100 days than who could imagine. And by the way, with very little, if any, blowback for his murderous acts from the mainstream media, the prestitutes, as I call them, the very, very little. And so he's backtracked on just about everything he said but foreign affairs. Five top papers ran 18 opinion pieces praising the Syrian strikes. You know how many of them were critical out of that 18? None. And the American people applauded too. And now they're calling for more troops into Syria to fight ISIS. So, and it goes back to what we're discussing about trends. And this is why we're saying that when all else fails, they take it to war. The subprime auto loan bomb is ready to explode. And there are flashing warning signs of an equity market reversal. I mentioned how the stock market's going up. I want to give you some facts behind it. There's a lack of broad economic growth that's reflected in that just 10 stocks, 10, we count them on our hands, are fueled. 10 stocks, they're mostly technology oriented, fueled 53% of the Standard & Poor's gains this year. I mentioned that the NASDAQ is over 6,000. Some 40% of the index is being driven by just five companies. That's it. Five companies. The Apples, the Alphabets, the Netflix, the Amazons. Five companies. This is not a broad recovery. Again, you look at the numbers. Student debt. Household income. There's warning signs. You know, yeah, the markets went up following this guy they just elected in France, Macron, because he's just another Obama, this guy. Another boy of nothing. Another little boy, this Macron. Another guy that's done nothing. And this is no conspiracy theory, folks. And we know E from Edgewater, he believes in what some very important things that people call conspiracy theories. This is no conspiracy theory. Macron comes from the Rothschild Bank Syndicate. That's where he worked last, the Rothschilds. Capisce? Whether it's the Rothschilds or the Goldman Sachs, it's the same club. And we're not in it. So when you look at what's going on, the market share went up because this centrist, as they call him, got elected. A centrist. That means he's going to keep the same schemes going. So the markets went up on that news. But go back just before he got elected. In just 1 week, investors withdrew nearly $15 billion from U.S. equity funds. And that was the largest outflow in 82 weeks. So this thing is on, as we see it, a collision course. But when all else fails, they take you to war. And the war drums are beating. And remember our forecast. Israel is going to provoke Iran. It'll be a false flag, whatever it is. It'll be a lie. And the United States is going to become involved with our ally. That's our favorite ally in the world, the apartheid state of Israel. And I'm tired of calling these people settlers. What a bunch of BS line. What is that, an Orwellian line? How about land grabbers? How about occupiers? We're going to get dragged into that war. And that'll be the war that ends all wars. It'll be the war that, when they ask, Einstein, what weapons will be used in World War III? He said, I'm not sure. He said, but they'll use sticks and stones to fight the Fourth World War. These are the Persians. They're not going anywhere. Leave them alone. They're not the world's greatest supporter of terrorists, as Trump and Tillerson and Mad Dog Mattis tell us, America is. They were invited into Syria. And yes, they support Hezbollah after the Israelis occupied Lebanon for all those years. So as we're closing up, please consider Occupying Peace. OccupyPeace.us. Do what you can to help support us. Or do nothing. Or do what you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually in your own life, to put out the message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men and women, and all living creatures. This is Gerald Celente, and that's Trends This Week. Thank you.
Sitter on your bisha olo ideva, idevene sempre bacalare del manedene. Se ci picchia vande se bacalare picchia me. Come over here and see who's looking in my window.